Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got another great show. We've got a lot of stuff happening here, a few announcements to make first. I can hardly talk because we're totally exhausted, all the work we've been doing here at ESETI, but it's been pretty intense, and we've got some wonderful guests here and volunteers, and they've just been really cleaning the place up. So if you haven't been to ESETI for a while, be sure and check us out. You know, it's totally different up here. I had a total facelift. We've got all the storm damage fixed. The roofs are back, and they've been all patched, and the rooms are open, so we're ready to go. So we'll be opening May 1st. And we've got the Self-Mastery Workshop May 26th to the 28th. And there's still room for that. We've got Michael Tellinger and myself on June 9th and 11th. And we've got seasonal community member opportunities, guest relations, administration, housekeeping, gardening, a lot of work like that if you want to come and hang out at ESETI. And if you want to find out more about that, go to esetievents.com. Again, that's esetievents.com to find out more about that, and all the information is there. But a lot of stuff going on here. It's amazing. There's a major forward push here to get things organized and together. We've got a few other things in the works. I was reading up on some of my emails, and I haven't been around. I've been so busy lately, just traveling and finally getting back and trying to get things organized here. But, you know, we lost David Rockefeller, unfortunately, and Bush Sr. is in the hospital with chronic bronchitis. And, you know, all these guys are dropping like flies. And I know about a lot of people right now that have recently died that I can't talk about because there's been some really heavy-handed things going on with this global reevaluation thing. But it looks like it's finally done from what I know. You know, I haven't double-checked it, but it looks like it's finally going through. But, you know, a lot of death threats were made, you know, going back and forth and things like that. And finally, some were made good, you know. So now everything is going forward in a really good way and a very positive direction. So it's going to get interesting. Things are going to start unfolding really fast right now. And that's what the Pleiadians and the Andromedans and the Orion Council of Light and everybody else and the benevolent Anunnaki, everybody right now is saying the gloves are off and we're going to start moving very quickly to restore the planet, you know, with the awakening healing process. And so things are going to be moving very quickly. And I'm sure my next guest has something to say about that. And we've got Mary Rodwell coming on, and she's recognized internationally as one of Australia's leading researchers and writers in the UFO and contact phenomenon areas. She's the founder and principal of Australian Close Encounter Research Network, ACERN, which provides professional counseling, support, hypnotherapy, and information to individuals and their families with anomalous paranormal experiences and abduction contact experiences. She's also the director and chair of the Experiencer Support Programs of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, FREE. And she's also an advisory committee and member of Exopolitics. And her research explores evidence from a scientific, biological, psychological, anthropological, spiritual, and historical perspective to support what she believes is genetic engineering program for upgrading Homo sapiens, leading to a paradigm shift in human consciousness. Her latest book, The New Human Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage, was published late last year. And I'm delighted to welcome Mary on the show. Mary, are you with us?
Yes, James, I'm with you. And I feel sorry for you if you're that tired having to come out with all that blurb and what have you. I myself and what have you. I get tired of hearing it. It does go on a bit. But yes, I mean, I was very interested in what you had to say about your, you know, what's speeding up and happening, you know, from a lot of different levels. And it certainly is why I wrote the New Human, because to me, that's more of the evidence that helps people, you know, to come to grips with this is really happening, that these changes are really going on.
Definitely. And, you know, recently I was just over at, there's Dr. Emoto and Dr. Emoto, but Hang on, my computer's talking to me. It always jumps in on me here. But basically, this research, they found out that water actually holds DNA, and you can transfer DNA with lasers, with light. And, you know, all this new research now is showing that it would be very, very easy to alter a human fetus or even an egg while it's in the womb and actually upgrade the DNA. And the person wouldn't even know. They don't even have to abduct you. They can actually, you know, beam you with the genetics. And there's some amazing new technology now that is coming out that now we're kind of figuring out how you could have an immaculate conception or you know, a lot of intervention.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the clues from the children is when this little nine-year-old in Europe told me that she could heal water. And it was through one of these light languages that she was speaking, at least three of these light languages, and that's what she said that she could do. And of course, we know with, you know, Dr. Masaru Emoto and his understanding that prayer, that, you know, intention, music, all these different things can actually alter the nature of water. And of course, we're 70-80% water anyway, but also what's fascinating to me is the number of people that not only are speaking the light languages, but also being aware that they not only have activated some of their own DNA, but are able to activate others through these kinds of frequencies as well. So it's these multiple levels that we've not realized, and the properties, as you say, of water that are really giving us a handle on how this is happening. I mean, the crop circles are another one because they're often over aquifers, for example, and that's taking the frequencies around the globe, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So this fascinating research is really giving us, if you like, permission to believe what we've had a knowledge of, an awareness of, but hadn't been able to qualify it perhaps in more scientific terms.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, it's funny because all the research is there, the science is there, the physics is there. If anybody, you know, wants to do the research into this phenomenon and what's going on, you know, with the UFO phenomenon, and you know, we have a mountain of evidence here, just photos and videos and thousands of eyewitnesses, and wherever we go, you know, with you, I'm sure, and Peter Slattery over there in Australia, it's like the UFOs just keep popping up redundantly, you know, and I wonder, you know, at what time are people just going to give it up and just say, you know, this is a real event. But I wanted to share something with you really quick. I just got back from Mexico, and there's two things that happened right after I got back. I did a radio show with MTV, and unbelievable. It was like, I did a radio show, and it was, luckily it was only half an hour, but it was grueling. And they pretty much, you know, attacked me and called me every name in the book. And I was laughing. I thought it was kind of hilarious because I said, well, you know, thank you for establishing your character and your ignorance, but you really need to do some research, you know. I mean, they're asking like how hung the UFOs are and how, I mean, the questions that they were coming off with, I just said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there's so much more going on here. This is so vast. And that's all you care about. And it kind of saddened me in a way to hear that there is a large section of human consciousness that just, I don't know how they're going to ever turn around or what it's going to take to turn them around. And then I met three people in Mexico and I was talking to them. And one was kind of sitting on the fence and the other was just kind of a partier. You know, she was a party girl. And the other one was just adamantly against all of it. There is no proof. There is no evidence. There's no... And I told her, I said, you know, everything that you know that you've established your personality on, you're going to find out is wrong. So I said, I wouldn't invest a lot of time and energy in trying to be right and using what you know now, because it's all going to get turned upside down. And I'm wondering if you're running into some of the same thing and how you deal with that kind of consciousness or...
Well, I've always said, to be honest, James, that with 10% of the planet, if a UFO landed on their front lawn, they'd call it a fire engine, because ultimately they can't go there. What frustrates me, and this gets back really to even ufology in the sense of their way of qualifying, and they have been able to through the nuts and bolts. Yes, got pictures of the craft. Yes, you know, ground traces. Yes. people have seen them, we've got photographs and what have you, but they have never really provided why. The answers that we seek, and the answers aren't to be found in the ground traces and the pictures of UFOs and all the rest of it. The answers are only to be found, in my view, through the experiencer that is having contact with these intelligences. And they may or may not have marks on the body afterwards or et cetera, et cetera. But the real evidence, and this is what really, you know, Free comes into its own, and I know it's not being perhaps accepted very well by the nuts and boltsers who, because we're looking at consciousness, we're looking at the fact that people who have these experiences ultimately are changed by them. It shifts their consciousness into a whole new awareness. That is evidence of a reality. You don't get people changing after hallucinations and fantasies and imagination. You only get shifts in consciousness and awareness through a real experience. There's the evidence right there. And this is what we're finding. You know, the 85% of people over these 600 questions that we've done and nearly 4,000 individuals, that 85% of them felt that this had shifted their consciousness and transformed them into a new awareness. Now, that is so significant. You know, in itself, it's just, there's your evidence, guys. People don't change unless something significant's happened. And what they're telling us, and if we can get over this 3D limiting and limited and inaccurate understanding of what reality is and go into it through the scientific hologram, we can explain everything that people struggle with. And that's everything from their psychic abilities right through to their awareness of seeing energy, for a healing abilities. All these things can be explained scientifically through the quantum hologram. And again, if you know we can understand it, then we can start to accept that this is actually our true reality, which is multidimensional, not 3D. Sorry, mate, you're not going to get the answers looking through one eyeball. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the frustration from someone like myself, because I'm not a nuts and boltser, and I've always challenged, like you have, the mainstream nuts and bolts, which I think has been important. It's helped people qualify the reality. But what we have to look at is consciousness, that this is what is going on here, that people who have experiences shift in their lifestyle, shift in their awareness, they become more conscious of the connection to everything, they become conscious of how, you know, we are there for, that love matters, that we are part of each other, that we can, if we open up to this, then everything that really matters is shifted into a completely new way of living. Now, that in itself is profound, and this is what we're finding through this research. So, you know, even though the nuts and boltsers, you know, have been useful, they have only been looking at trying to get the answers why these intelligences have been interacting with us from one eyeball. And we are multidimensional, which is bringing in all this new information. But do they listen to the experiencer? It's only in recent years, the experience has had any kind of credibility, and then you've still got to have marks on your body and you've still got to have all these other things before they'll believe you. Goodness me, don't say that you're having communication telepathically and that you're aware of multiverses and that you go onto other planets and spacecraft where you're taught the sense of the multiverse, that you're shown how to fly the craft, that you are taught how to do healing and work with energy and frequencies. But until we start doing that, we are never going to get the answers as to why they're coming, why they're interacting with us, and what's it all about. So, you know, you can hear my frustration, because this is why I wrote The New Human, because I'm saying, come on, guys. And it may not just be through a sighting that you wake up and get activated. It may happen through a shamanic experience. It may happen through a near-death experience. It may happen through a huge grief experience, that you are catapulted or activated into the awareness of your multidimensional self. So all of these that have these experiences will ultimately be communicating not only with spirits and all these other entities, but non-human intelligences. It doesn't always happen through the UFO vehicle, or that, you know, it can happen through all of these different ways. Kundalini awakening, you know all of this, you know, as well, James. This is about consciousness, guys. You know, it isn't about the bright lights in the sky at all. It's actually about why are they there and what are they doing and what are they achieving with us as a species. And we've got all these little young kids of 5, 6, and 7 talking about going on craft, what they're learning on craft, what they're being shown is the truth of our origins and who we are and their connection to these beings, which are, you know, these many different ones where they're saying they're family. You know, they're part of us, you know. There's the answers, guys. But first we have to acknowledge that we're multidimensional.
Yeah, we need to get the 5-year-olds, you know, on the air and talking about this. But, you know, I love that saying, you know, the one-eyed man is king, you know, in the land of the blind ufologists, you know. But I had a talk with a PhD guy once, and, you know, he got his PhD at Harvard, I think, or something like that. And he was, you know, really coming at me. And I just said, you know, there's a couple things that you assume right off the bat we need to straighten out is one, you have no authority in my life. And two, I really don't care if you believe me or not. And I said, what does your PhD have to do here with anything? I said, because they don't teach UFO at Harvard. You know, they don't teach, you know, the higher dimensional aspects of this. They don't, teach any of this. But, you know, I was telling him, I said, you know, we can only experience a small part of the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, that we can see. And then the whole world, you know, through our 5 senses, we can only experience less than 1% of it. And so they know there's at least 11 dimensions out there. There's some are saying there's 23 or 26. Everybody has a new theory. But it's unlimited. But, you know, I tell them, I just said, why are you demanding physical proof of non-physical events? And why are you trying to pigeonhole everything into 3D physical reality for proof when you know that there's these other dimensions and you also know they're full of life? And I'm also watching this whole thing. NASA says that they're going to discover life, you know, NASA says. And you just go, my God, you know, we've been working with them since, you know, the 30s and the 40s. We know there's ET out there. You know, we've been back engineering their stuff for all this time, working right alongside them. And that, I just, every time I see a newspaper, NASA says that in the next 20 years, we're going to have contact, you know. And I just go, do people really believe this? Do they still believe this? I'm just blown away when it hits the lamestream news and they have these headlines.
Look, you know, this is the frustration, isn't it? That, you know, with the fact that there's been this truth embargo for so long. But the great thing is that I'm discovering now is through, you know, the internet has been a wonderful vehicle for this to be, for information to get out to people. And the wonderful thing is with the new generations of our species is that they're less gullible and they're less likely to take on some of that old programming. And also what has been heartening for me is that these new activated kids coming in, you know, are harder to program. And harder to convince into the old, what I call the reality dysfunction that we live in on this planet, you know. Yeah. And the great thing is that the reason they're harder to, and they're considered dysfunctional, by the way, these new programs, as I've come across, you know, and that's ADHD, you know, Asperger's, some the dyslexics and some forms of autism, and even possibly even bipolar. What I'm saying is that they, because they struggle to deal with 3D, which is the whole idea, that it stops them from being programmed if they're not dumbed down into an inaccurate reality, then what they can then do is expose more of their understanding of the multidimensional nature. But not only that, the truth. These kids can look at you. You know that, James. They can look at you. They know whether you're lying. A lot of them are telepathic, particularly the autistic children, what have you. They literally know what you're thinking. So, you know, you can't lie to them. They already suss you out. And, you know, one of the great things that I loved with Neil Gold, who in his 50s discovered he was ADHD, and he told me when I went to Hong Kong many years ago now that he always saw reality differently and didn't realize till he was in his 50s he would have been diagnosed as ADHD. He now retranslates that as always dialed into higher dimensions. And I think that's absolutely spot on. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is many of those with ADHD, what do? They stick them full of Ritalin to slow them down so they can operate in 3D. In fact, what we should be doing is looking at how they understand reality and then the multiverse and start helping us to open ourselves up to act, you know, and being activated enough to operate in it as well. But at the moment, we've got this whole, you know, conundrum where we've got the old paradigm and the new one, and there's this bridge that we're trying to, you know, step from one to another. And that's the frustration that you're experiencing, I'm experiencing, because until we look at the multidimensional side of who we are, we're never going to get the answers and we're never going to understand the true reality. And, you know, but it's happening. That's the great thing, is that the more that people wake up, and there's all these different ways they're being woken up, seeing UFOs, more and more people are seeing them and going, oh my God, what's that? You know, and immediately finding themselves being shifted. And, you know, all the other frequencies that are hitting the planet now, you know that are assisting with this activation. Healers that are doing the activation, doing the star languages and crop circles, bringing in the frequencies, all these different ways humans are being activated. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, it's just a matter of time. And maybe, you know, it's going to be, and certainly a lot of those coming to me sense something big is very close. Some big shift is very, very close. However, that's going to happen, of course, is up for debate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of privy to some of the big shifts and I can't really talk about it now. Soon I'll be able to, but what I found out is that these benevolent Anunnaki that have returned, which just means those who came from heaven to earth, but these are sixth and eighth dimensional on up beings that are coming back from ancient Lyra, and they're actually, in a way, forcing the fallen Anunnaki to clean up their act and clean up the mess they created here, and so they have an opportunity to clean up their mess and seek, you know, rehabilitation. You know, or they basically, it's not the other side of it's not too good. They actually get kind of reassimilated. But I've been seeing that's been going on a big scale. And then a lot of the people you're going to see in the news here really quick, a lot of the people that have been plaguing the earth for so long that have just done despicable acts and for God knows how long are now just dropping like flies. And I know some of the key people that were involved in the shenanigans that were starting the RV and things like that have miraculously just turned up, you know, without a spirit inside their bodies, you might say. I can't go too much into that, but things are happening. I mean, it's game on. I mean, it's hands on. And then the, you know, the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Arcturians, you know, the Sirians, all those guys are involved in this shift. I'd love to hear what you're getting. What are the kids saying? I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, Nibiru coming by, a pole shift. I know the ships have actually pulled the earth back 20 degrees twice already. There's all these things going on. I'm not really worried about the whole earth flipping over and all the other stuff because I don't think they're going to allow that. But I'm curious as to what the kids are saying or what information you've been getting recently about this shift and maybe any kind of details about how this is going to occur.
Well, some of the awareness is I quote one young man who's only 12 who had already explained that he'd been here before and they'd left something on the moon that was to help with what happened now. And he basically said, look, humanity's been at this point, and he says three times before it was knocked off course, but there's a 95% chance now that will make it an 100% chance that we are headed to a higher level. He said, you know, it's slow, but that, you know, getting in tune with things, but it's affecting everyone. It's the star seeds and the indigos that are actually helping with that frequency and vibration. But there's a young man in his talking about the new earth, how he understands it. And I said to him, So what do you understand? This is a young man when I spoke to him, was only 16. And he said, my understanding, there is a new earth, but it's not necessarily new. We are just moving into a new vibration. But to us, it's new. It's been there for a long time and it's waiting for our arrival. Gaia is already at the destination she wishes to be, and she's waiting for us to move with her. She's moving into a high frequency and a collection of similar frequencies, as he's put it. And really, hold on, all we are is what he's saying. So what the children are saying, I said to him, is that when we're awakened, we'll be able to move more with Gaia to this other plane of awareness and reality. And he said, yes, but not necessarily moving with her, just moving space around us to get to her, because she's in one position and we're in another, but it exists in the same space, is how he understood it. And I thought that was a pretty, I could sort of understand that, but there are many different ideas about how this is going to be achieved, or exactly what does this actually mean. That sort of fits for me. But Dr. Yeah. Olsen, who is a molecular biologist in Sweden, who is an experiencer and a letter person, told me that her understanding is that we're just moving into two frequencies, the low frequency people and high frequency people. And she said, and that's the choice we're making as a soul, either to stay with 3D as the low frequency, or actually move into the higher frequency and move into another, awareness and dimension. So she's seeing this like this kind of shift into polarities, if you like, where we're, and in some respects, I can sort of get that, seeing what some of the human beings on this planet are doing at the moment. That makes a lot of sense to me. But everyone's got their own sort of sense of how it is, but the sense of urgency is very clear, that there's so many saying sometimes they're feeling anxious, or just they've got to get on with whatever it is they've come here to do. It's like, I've got to do it, and I've got to do it now.
And yeah, that's kind of what's happening globally, you know, the whole RV, everything. They're just saying, look, we're done. You know, the gods want this. We're getting on with it, period. You know, and so it's kind of interesting. I know out here at the ranch, when we do some of the Yigong practices and the self-mastery workshops, and bring in all the higher dimensional beings and actually change the frequencies in the room, that people actually phase out, and they'll be sitting there and next minute they're gone, you know. And we have pictures of them in and out of phase where you can actually see right through them. And so it really makes sense that if you do your spiritual practices, that, you know, do your daily meditations and clear up your old wounds and traumas and things like that, that eventually you're going to be phasing in and out, you know. And what they told me is there's actually 8 Earths, and they're just out of phase. They're a little bit out of phase from each other, and it's like that mini world theory. And it does make sense that eventually the people that can ride these ascension waves that are coming through will eventually just phase out and find themselves in another reality or another Earth. And I guess the other people that can't do it will continue on that downward spiral or whatever timeline they can handle or experience.
It is interesting, isn't it, how, you know, you're getting all these different senses of what may be going on. But the one significant part of all of that is that it's going to be quite dramatic, that it's going to be very, very clear. It's not going to be this slow process at all. There's going to be something very, very dramatic. Others have talked about seeing, you know, hundreds of spacecraft in the sky, for example, and they've been shown that, for example. Whether or not that is part of a potential that may happen, I don't know. But that's an interesting one as well.
Yeah, they've been talking about how it's basically hands-on now, and they're going to bring in these fleets and massive motherships. And you know, if you are one of these cabal guys or some of these dark hearts, you really they know where you are, and they're gonna, they're gonna be picking up some buildings and things like that with these motherships. So it's gonna get really interesting, and just kind of as a show of force, like, it's over. You know, your time is over. We're going to a new era. You know, there's a and get with the program, because what I'm hearing now is that we aren't too far away from, like you're saying, something really dramatic, like just some massive mothership showing up, something that nobody can hide. And it's imminent. Like last night we did a sky watch. I stopped counting. I don't know how many ships we saw. And just the other night I walked out my front door. I look up and I see the space station going by. I see another ship in front of it. And I see this massive thing bigger than it fly right over it. And I mean, right in front of it and right over it. And, you know, there's nothing else could be up there. I mean, these aren't satellites or things like that. And it's really obvious. And so I don't know how they can keep hiding this. You know, it's like if you're paying attention and watching the skies, there's so much activity up there right now. And if you really have any everybody just automatically dismisses, oh, that's a satellite. That's a satellite, you know, but, you know, a lot of these objects are in the Earth's shadow and they have their own light. I mean, they're not reflecting light because they're in the Earth's shadow. So they're self-illuminated. They're not satellites. And you can only see just a few of satellites coming over your house at any given time. Like here we have maybe 1 to 3 at the most satellites that we can see that are visible to the naked eye. And, you know, we're looking at 20 or 30 ships. And sometimes we've seen up to 200 ships that are definitely in the Earth's shadow, you know. So, you know, all I can say is if you're a non-believer, you know, spend some time outside watching the sky. If you got clear skies, you're going to see some things you can't explain.
I think without doubt that, like you say, people are now being drawn to, you know, they've got the phones, they can take these pictures. So, you know, they are seeing this. And for many people, that's been the extra little catalyst that's got them looking into this again and what have you. And some of them, of course, as you know, they're called outside. They just say, I knew I had to go outside. And then all of a sudden it was there. Or what have you. So the interaction's being a lot more conscious. It's being a lot more in your face and what have you, which I think is you know, part of the deal. But not only that, of course, for me, when you've got so many of these new generations coming out with their understanding of where they're going, I mean, I think for me that it's been quite surprising, but also interesting that I'm getting parents with the children writing to me saying, my child's this, or my child's, you know, supposedly got that and is, or, you know, is autistic or is this, but talking about going and talking to God and talking about learning things on spacecraft. And all of this is translated through a computer or whatever, if they can't, you know, articulate it properly in any other way. So we're getting these children that are very aware of their connection to these different intelligences that is family to them or whatever. But also what is fascinating is their awareness of their abilities. And that really intrigues me when, you know, you've got an 8-year-old and she was describing to me taking to her planet of origin. She was actually shown how to levitate. She was shown how to use her third eye and then explained that, you know, the other part of that was one of her abilities is the elements, that she can control the wind and clouds, that's part of one of her abilities, if you like. Which she was quite aware of. And the other fascinating thing she told me, that in her classroom, you know, her fairies, as she calls them, will actually help her when the teacher's saying something that isn't accurate and will say to her, no, that isn't true. This is what you need to know about that or whatever. So being, you know, her education is carrying on in the human classroom, but via her fairies that actually help her with that as well. So this is the kind of thing that they're, you know, it's a whole new education that is preparing them for whatever I think is ahead. And I think that intrigues me, is how is this all going to manifest when, you know, you've got these kids that are aware of how to use their abilities, tremendous gifts, if you like, as they, you know, as they start to change and shift what's going on in this planet. And again, no lies, guys, you know, you cannot lie to these kids. So I had an email from a woman with her 3-year-old little girl, and she said, Mary, the biggest thing for me is that I've known my daughter's telepathic since birth. She reads my mind and everyone around us. And she said, but the problem for me is she's 3 years old now, and you know how tiring it is to keep an eye on your thoughts because you know your daughter's going to read your thoughts. And she said it really is difficult because most of us do have negative days. We do have days when we're not too chuffed with the world. But it's teaching us to clean up our thoughts, to clean up what we're putting out. So we're really going to have to walk our talk. So that in itself is a huge challenge for us and the way that we operate now.
Yeah, I agree. I was raised that way. I remember when I was a kid, I used to sit up on these granite boulders in the high desert of California, and I'd have conversations, and they would explain to me why people do what they do, and they helped me depersonalize it. And you know, even showed me past life things and things like that that were operating and, you know, influencing people. So it was quite interesting. And I'd come back down, you know, I'd get upset and I'd go sit on the boulder and they'd come and talk to me and show me these things. And they'd always show me their ships and everything. So I always told people, I said, to me, it was never a problem. I just always accepted the reality that, you know, they were there, the unseen beings, whatever you want to call them, and that they're higher dimensional. And also, too, they'd show us their ships all the time. My dad would pull over on the highway and say, get out. We'd get out, and he said, look up, and there'd be five ships following us, mm-hmm. you know. And so it was always a part of our family, and so we never even think twice. But, boy, when you get into the Muggle world and start talking about this, I'm shocked to see that people actually still believe that we're it, that we're the best creator has to offer, and we're the only humans in this vast you know, bazillion stars and planet galaxy and, you know, multi-galaxy system we're in.
I think for it, you know, what's interesting for me and the fact that you were fortunate enough, James, to be in a family that was accepting and honoring of these experiences and your experiences and what have you. So you're allowed to explore it in a fairly normal way, as it were. I mean, unfortunately, there are so many of that have had these experiences that are contacting me on a daily basis and being reminded or being triggered to explore it again, because when they were a child, they had this reality denied them, that they weren't allowed to even look at it because they were told there was something wrong with them. And unfortunately, because of this programming and conditioning that's still prevalent in education, in science, in every area of knowledge, which is inaccurate. We know that everything we're being taught is an edited version of what suits the consensus and whoever wants to run the planet and what have you. To start again is really, really hard for a lot of people to let that all go. But they're needing to do it because of the children that are coming in and saying to them, you know, Mum, last night they took me to Mars and they showed me, you know, the domes on Mars, and they showed me three different types of beings living under the surface. And they, you know, there was a hybrid teaching me one thing. And when they brought me back, they cloaked the craft so nobody could see it. And this is an 8-year-old describing one of her trips out, you know, into the cosmos. Now, she's fortunate. She had a mum who also had experiences that was accepting of that. But there are a lot of kids that start to question their sanity. And that is the problem, is that, you know, until the parents get woken up, the children can often feel very, very isolated and alone. And some of them, I know, have almost given up and said, you know, I just didn't want to be here. I just didn't want to live on this planet because it was so alien to me in living in a society. And when you've got a 9-year-old telling you that his awareness of physics is so way beyond the scientists on this planet who are dumb and have got no idea how it all really works anyway, because he's a light physicist, and that his understanding from where he comes from was, you know, how to build, you know, time travel technology, for example. He said the only one that became even close is Tesla. But he said, you know, I can't talk about this to any of the scientists here because they haven't got a clue. They don't have any idea of how it really works. So you've got these kids coming in with this kind of concepts and thinking, where do I go with it? Who can I, you know, how can I share my understanding when in schools it is all wrong? Everything we're being taught is wrong, you know, except for perhaps, you know, that we need to eat and sleep on this planet or whatever it is.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, he's a German biophysicist. Actually, he's got about 9 PhDs, I think, or something. But he has, you know, he has the fuelless technology and the motors and everything. He's built all this stuff. But he took one of his devices, and I had to sit in the room with these scientists, and they were electrical engineers. And one was Walter Rosenthal. He was Mr. Rocket Man, the rocket scientist. And, you know, he said, if you can figure this out, I'll give it to you. And they took it all apart. They put it back together. The thing produced enormous amount of energy. Mm-hmm. It had 9 coils. Each coil put out 25,000 watts. It was just insane. And this thing has actually counter gravity. It's not just anti-gravity. When it does take off, it's going to go several thousand miles an hour instantly. And so so I had to sit with him, and then he actually demonstrated this to some of the people in the field of free energy. And, you know, they stole his car. They tried to steal the technology. They blew his lab up. And so it went on the shelf and got taken apart in a lot of different pieces in different places. But watching that, the information to build something like that is not available. It's not available in mainstream science or what science they teach or the physics and everything else. And Max was saying that too. He said, you know, this comes to you. He said, the information comes to you. And he had ETs show up and actually give him, you know, show him this technology, or he had a lot of interactions and things. So it's quite interesting, you know, seeing that firsthand, how people are controlled. You know, we are so controlled, and our personalities have been created and manufactured, and we don't even know who we are. We make our decisions because of the input of information, and that input was always inaccurate, especially nowadays with the lamestream media and the news and CNN. Everything we're being told there is a lie, but people are figuring it out. People are finally figuring it out and just going, wow, and starting to see things. And I think that's when the big aha happens, when people look up, especially here at the ranch, and they see the ships, and there's an interaction between them and the people on the ships. There's an energetic or spiritual interaction. Their whole life changes at that moment. And it's almost like the dream, you know, it snaps the dream. And the next thing you know, they're going, whoa. And I said, and I go, you know, that's your family up there. You know, they're saying hi, you know, and it's time to wake up, you know, and realize that you're not just a body and a personality. You're a multidimensional being, and you've lived in these other civilizations, and you're here now to bring that consciousness and energy and all that wisdom from these higher dimensions and civilizations to the earth to help out the earth now. And it's a life-changing experience when that happens.
Absolutely. And one of the most heartening things that I found, because I've got very frustrated, and I know you have too, with coming in from just the UFO perspective, but, you know, bringing in those, you know, from the metaphysical, more spiritually aware, that haven't always realized, they've never quite joined the dots between, you know, the UFO aspect of our, you know, research into the metaphysical, saying, look, this is all part of the same thing. It's not separate. And that is the light bulb moment for many people, you know, when they suddenly see what I'm talking about actually is consciousness. That's one vehicle of a way of getting that activation or that awakening. But actually, all these things that we're talking about, these shifts in awareness and, you know, the ability to do healing and the ability to access and communicate with all these different intelligences that are, some of them are very much part of our soul family or whatever, is that it's part of, you know, it can happen through all these different ways of spirituality, that, you know, it doesn't have to be through, you know, you seeing a UFO at the end of the day, but the sense of peace that it gives, now it makes sense, is because they've missed that little bit of the puzzle. Because I think that a lot of them think it either has to be spirits and, you know, and the elementals and all the, you know, whatever, or ETs. It actually isn't separate. It's all in the mix. It's just how you want to interpret it, really.
I had a picture of Mary's energy appearing over a statue, and this beautiful pink energy came down and feathered out and went off in all these different directions. And it was not a camera flare or lens flare, because it was taken away from the sun. But amazing picture. But there's all these little blue lights in front of her. And I was on Coast to Coast, and Art Bell asked me that. He says, well, what are all those little blue lights at the bottom around Mary? And I said, well, they're probably nature spirits. Mm-hmm. And then when they did reverse speech on me, and I said, Mary's elves say to love her. You know, so it's all tied together. And people have a hard time, that nature kingdom, the ascended masters, the angelic kingdom, the UFOs, and all that stuff. And, you know, I know when I was over in Australia, I talked about the Gosford glyphs and how the whole history of humanity is on those glyphs, and the interaction with ETs, and how whenever we have the image of a bearded god, we're talking about the Anunnaki, and it really turned some people upside down but they couldn't argue with the presentation because it was all based on facts and it could be proven. And then but it was really funny. This guy came up to me and he goes, "I've been a Catholic all my life." He goes, "What do I do now?" And I said, "You know, there's a lot of good stuff." I said, "Just keep the good stuff and let go of the limitations." I said, "You know, it's like a bird in a nest. You know, there's a time you need the nest. You need to be taken care of. But then when you get the wings and you're ready to fly, they go, no, you can't step out of the nest, you know." And they use fear and guilt and unworthiness to control you. And I said, "You know, luckily there's some people that just break out of the nest anyway. And that's what we need to do."
I think, the beliefs, a religious spiritual beliefs, I think have been one of the biggest ones for a lot of people. And I actually did a whole chapter, you know, I call it the God chapter, but it's actually called Cosmic Consciousness, because 1 9-year-old actually told me that she said there's no gender with God, you know, it's an ultra-terrestrial is the way that she put it, and lives in dayland, you know, a daylight with the angels and light. But one of the things that was significant was a young Indian man that contacted me, and he said, "My biggest problem, Mary, is I know this is my first time on Earth and that I'm a starseed," he said, "but most of my culture looks on the gods, you know, the extraterrestrials as gods," he said, "and they worship them." And he said, "and that's my difficulty," he said, "because I know they're not gods. I know that they're extraterrestrials." And he said, "but, you know, when I've got my family and those around me and my culture that's saying, you know, they're gods," he said, "it's very hard for me when I know and feel completely differently to that and have this knowing that they've misinterpreted what this all is." And it is a big one. It's a big one for anyone brought up within any kind of belief system, you know, whether it's Christianity or it's, you know, one of the many other religions or what have you, is to actually start to see this from what I call a modern lens, if you like, and understand, you know, that a lot of these so-called, you know, gods were really just different intelligences visiting this planet. And of course, it looked magical because of the technology. But to actually grow up, you know, and start to realize that Santa Claus didn't come, you know, on a sleigh, you know, and Santa Claus is actually mum and dad in their dressing gowns before they went to bed. You know, it takes a bit of accepting sometimes, because we want that extra bit of a mystery or whatever. But ultimately, you know, we're being tasked to grow up and, you know, and start to see things as they really are, rather than these myths and these fairy stories that we're brought up with and have done for millennia.
Yeah, I like Meister Eckhart. I think he said that, you know, if nut trees produce nut trees and if pear trees produce pear trees, what do God seeds produce, you know? And it is. It's time to grow up. You know, if we are children of God, basically it's time to grow up. And I see, you know, you read Ezekiel in there and they have a shiny disc come out of the firmament, you know, with bronze feet like calves. It sounds like a thousand rushing rivers when it lands. It has fire and brimstone coming out of it. And out of this vehicle steps God, you know, and then out of it come wheels with wheels within wheels, you know, the little cherubim, you know, and zipping all around. And if you really read that story, obviously that was a very advanced ET. And actually he wasn't very kind, you know, he's kind of the origin of the wrathful God. But, you know, we need to read the Vedic scriptures too. They talk about the gods and their ships and the different types of ships. And some were physical ships, some were energy ships, some were Merkabas, light ships, and they all had different technologies on them. You know, they even talk about their drivetrains and their missiles and all the other things in the ancient scriptures. So it's so obvious. I just find that a lot of people they believe what they're told, and what they're told through mainstream, you know, education and TV and everything else is not, you know, what's really going on. And if they just did a little research, all of a sudden they go, whoa, you know, wait a second, this is all clicking here. And to me, having my own near-death experience and drowning, I know there is a God. I experienced it, you know. And like the one kid was saying that you're talking about, it's pure consciousness and energy. It's neither male or female, and it's the most blissful, loving, unconditionally loving being you could ever meet. And, you know, it's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. But, you know, that being said, it's so far beyond the bearded images, you know, with the green eyes or the blue eyes or you know, the red hair or the yellow or blonde hair, you know, the gods that were here. And we need to really look at that, because each one behaved differently, and that's the origin of the religion. Some behaved in a very loving, creative way. They wanted us to continue and to survive, and others were wrathful and didn't care anything about humanity and just, you know, wanted to be served and were evolved tyrants, basically. And that is the base foundation of most religions. And that's a real shocker for people to realize. But if you do the research, that's the only conclusion you can come to.
Absolutely. And my issue with some of the religions, I mean, the Catholic religion, you know, they've acknowledged that there is such things as extraterrestrials, and it isn't demonology, and it isn't a psychological illness. But you've still got some of the Christian religions, and one of them is the Jehovah's Witnesses, that still see these experiences as demons. And yeah. I actually had a 2-hour conversation with someone standing at the door, because I thought he might move off very fast when I said I help people who think they've had, you know, believe they have had interactions with ETs. And he said, oh, well, I've had those. And that completely shocked me that he'd just come out like that. And I thought, oh, right. And but they're all demons. And he went and started to quote all the different passages that he said qualified the fact that they were demons. So we spent the next couple of hours debating our understanding of whether extraterrestrials were demons at all, or whether or not, as I believe that there's all sorts of different intelligences out there, and some of them are more loving and some of them are more self-serving than others. But I don't think I convinced him any more than he changed my mind about it. And the poor gentleman, you know, they come in twos, and the other poor gentleman just stood there with his mouth open and didn't quite know what to say, because that was not what he's expecting to happen.
I know. I think that's hilarious when that does happen. You know, a lot of times I'll have a conversation with one person knowing I'm never going to change that person, but the friends around them are the ones that are listening that are going to get it, and it's going to plant a seed. And I actually mess with the other person on purpose, which is what I did down in Mexico. I put this poor girl, I really turned her upside down, and, you know, and she was going, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? You know, where's the, and then, so I told her, I said, here's the evidence. If you want the proof, it's written in stone. I'll tell you where it is. You know, it tells the whole history of Earth. And I said, so what does that do to your whole belief system? You know, it proves that everything you've been told and all the schooling you've had was incorrect, you know. And it was really funny. And she goes, well, there's no evidence. I said, I just gave you the evidence, you know. Do your own research. Don't believe some professor that's, you know, keeping the status quo going, because he wrote a book and he doesn't want anything to turn that book upside down or change it. So I said, do your own research. You'll find out that almost, you know, every aspect of the life we live right now is going to get turned upside down, because it's all just a big psyops thing, unfortunately. But, you know, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's not. It's a conspiracy fact.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? At the moment, we're considered to be conspiratorial in the information that we're giving out. And the bottom line is, it is a fact, and it's a fact that anyone can go and work out for themselves, and you don't have to be a brain surgeon to do it. You know, just the average person going in there and start to look at what's out there, and make up your own mind. You know, that's what I always say when I give presentations. Look, don't believe anything I say, but if any of it looks interesting or in some way resonates with you, go and see what that means, and see if that in fact will, you know, give you better understanding, because of the fact that so much out there has been altered and changed, whether it's through in religion or whether or not it's everything from archaeology, anthropology, right through. There is stuff we're not told, from giants being out there right through to the true history of the planet, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work it out. So I just encourage people, look, you know, hear what we're saying, and then go and do your own research and see what you come up with, because it is life changing.
I agree. And, you know, speaking of research, I mean, you've done a mountain of research, and you've got your new book and the website. So we're running out of time, unfortunately. So I wanted you to give, how can people access your information, give us your website, and how can they get your new book?
Well, they can access me through two websites, maryrodwell.com.au or acern.com.au. If they want either of those, you can contact me through that, and I'm also on Facebook. But I've also got many presentations up on YouTube, in interviews like this one, where you get more information as well. And my book can be accessed through Amazon if you're out of Australia. But if you're in Australia, then I can actually post it out to you without it costing a bar of gold. But right. Anyone else, I'm afraid it's cheaper if you go through Amazon.
Awesome. Hey, well, unfortunately, we're out of time, Mary. It's always been a real treat to talk to you, and I know you're always in my mind, and hopefully we'll reconnect here real soon.
Absolute pleasure, James. Take care and have a wonderful evening.
All right, great. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, and have a great day. Stay in the heart, watch the skies, and don't hold on to that personality self. It's not really worth it. Step into your higher self or your multidimensional self. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.